What's up, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today we have Rosales. Please introduce yourself, brother, and let the people know who you are and where you're from.
What's up? My name is Rosales. I'm from the Midwest area right now. I'm in Iowa City, Iowa. But I am from Sioux City, Iowa, which is a little bit more west than where I'm at right now.
Awesome, brother. We appreciate you being on the show, man. We want to really hear the real story about how you got started as a DJ from the beginning, and just tell us, you know, walk us through your journey and let us know, you know, your progress through the, you know, amount of time you've been DJing.
For sure. Well, I would say it all started about like 5 years ago when I was a senior in high school. I was just typical case of senioritis. I was just chilling, just kind of going through that last year. And I remember just going through Netflix. And the main thing that like got me into like the EDM culture was that I saw a movie on Netflix called Under the Electric Sky, which is about the music festival EDC Las Vegas. So I watched that and I just got like kind of obsessed with that whole movie. And I just started researching this festival and then all kind of festivals. I believe there's a couple other documentaries. And so I think I saw that movie like probably like around December or January of my senior year. And then once I saw that, I was like, oh my God, like I got to go to this. Like this looks amazing. It's like in May too. And you usually graduate high school in May. So like, it's like a week or two after I graduate, like you got to do this. So I found like a friend. I'm like, hey, like I watched this crazy movie. You got to watch it too. And he's like, yeah, that looks lit. So I'm like, it's like 2 weeks after you graduate. You want to take a road trip? And he's like, sure. And before this, I was already listening to EDM, but it was more like I never really went to any concert venue or like any concerts or anything because we were in Iowa. Actually, this was when I was living in South Dakota in high school because my mom remarried and we relocated to South Dakota for about like 5 years of high school or of school. So he's like, sure. So we graduated. We took my 2005 Grand Cherokee. Drove it to Vegas. It's like a 25-hour drive, but I remember leaving. We left my hometown, or we left where I went to high school at like 9 p.m. And I'm like, holy shit! Like, and it was like dark already. I'm like, holy shit, dude! We're about to drive to Vegas. Like, are you ready for this shit? And I remember like an hour out, we're like, holy fuck, we're actually driving to fucking Vegas. It's like, cause like we had to like go. We left South Dakota. You have to like go through the middle of Nebraska, which is like all cornfield. You could die. There's like children in the corn shit. And then after Nebraska, you go through Colorado, which is like still like kind of Nebraska until you get to like the Denver area. So it was all just fields. And so we got to like Denver, but then like all changed up. Then you like go to the mountains for like 5-6 hours, and you go through like a tip of Arizona, and then you go to Utah too. And that's like just all dust. So it was a crazy road trip. We ended up being a flat too, like an hour after Denver. So that was rough. We were supposed to get there that night at like 7, but that flat added like 5 hours. You know, I still remember it to this day. So I guess that's a memory.
Wow. That's actually interesting, man. Yeah. You just got that motivation to become a DJ after watching that movie. And you said, wow, I'm just going to go and I'm going to go check it out, see what it's about. So, you know, after you actually made it to the event, tell me a little bit more about that and love to hear more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's like where it all changed. We got to the event and then the first night of EDC, you know, you got the festival's like a little bit off of out of Vegas, so you got like a 40-minute like shuttle ride. But once we got there, it was already like 11:30, and it started at like 7:30, 8:30, so we were pretty late. But we saw everyone like going towards the stage. I'm like, who's over there? And they're like, Cascade. I'm like, oh, okay, let's go see him. Like, looks lit right now. It was just starting, and then I just remember getting sucked into that. So Cascade was the first DJ I saw a whole set of. So I remember that. And I remember after Cascade, it was like Duke DeMont, Kashmir. It was Armin van Buuren. It was crazy, crazy first night. And I just remember like after that whole festival experience, that's like where I realized like I wanted to start not even just DJing, but also producing.
Awesome, man. So what happened from there? You know, now you're sparked, you're interested, you've seen the light. Like, where did you go from there? Did you start buying equipment? Did you start, you know, practicing? Like, talk to me, like, where did it go from there and how you progressed?
That was the summer before college. And then once I got into college, I was more into producing then. I wasn't really into like DJing. But then I met a friend. He was a DJ in that area because he like grew up in high school there. And so, and then I guess like in high school, he was DJing at some clubs in my college town. And so that sparked my interest in DJing. And I started like researching that. I was asking like what program he used to DJ, then like what program he used to produce. And he was like using Serato. He was using Ableton for producing. And then so eventually I started practicing DJing with a mouse because Traktor had like a demo version and you're able to just like play songs on the left and the right, just like DJing with a mouse. Like you literally can, you have to do beat sync, but you know, you're using a mouse. So, but I did that for like, I just practiced that for like 2-3 hours a night every other day. And I did that for like probably a year until I finally got a controller. But then once I got a controller, I just bought like $250, the DDJ 400. I would practice that in my dorm room. And eventually I made a friend who DJed, and I made another friend who DJed in the Iowa City area. And then his friend was DJing in the Iowa City area too. And I guess they were looking for more DJs. So he introduced me to him. So then when he came over and we like DJed for a little bit, and he asked if I was looking to DJ at a club or anything. And I'm like, oh my God, I actually wasn't. I was trying to focus on school more at that time, but I was like, you know, like what kind of, this is a pretty big opportunity. Like I met someone who was working at a club and even he asked me to come in. So I'm like, I can't pass that up. So then I ended up coming in, talked to the owner, and then they set me up. After that, they set me up going there one day a week to like be analyzed and like trained by the other DJs there. Like just like phasing, song selection and like key syncing and all that. And then did that for a while. And then that was like a year and a half ago. And then I just took off from there once I DJed that club. Then COVID hit, but then, so that was about like 6 months. But so right now I'm still DJing at that one bar that I started at like back then, but I'm also DJing at a couple of others too now.
Cool, man. And yeah, let's talk more like, what was the experience like being now fully fledged DJing events? Like what's the experience like, and just kind of, you know, what's some of the things that you really enjoy about DJing that keeps you pumped and motivated to keep on going?
Yeah. When you're DJing, there's like, I even researched it. I'm like, you get like a head high, and it's called the flow state is what I believe it's called. And it's like, when you're just like, I told my friend, cause he would always get nervous. Cause I got my other friend who I went to the EDC with like 5 years ago now. He started DJing too, because I taught him, and now he's DJing near our hometown, like where we went to high school. So he's over there like 5 hours away from you. But I always told him, he was nervous one day, and I'm like, once you start DJing in front of a crowd, then you'll realize why you spent so much time practicing in your room, because everything just clicks. Like you can be like messing up, but like you'll figure it out because you have no other choice. Like, but so like I told him about the flow state, and like I'm like, that's like, you'll fall in love with that. Like that's like what you do it for.
But, nice, man. Yeah. So when you hit that flow state, you just in the zone and you're really focused and you're just like really just delivering a great performance for your audience. And I love it, man. And tell me more about, you know, the people that like you are working with or you're involved with. Like, do you have a team or are you kind of a solo act, or how do you operate in regards to your DJing kind of career, your passion?
Personally, I am more of a solo act right now because the bar that I started at, they're not really like fond of having their DJs go to other places in a way. But if you were to stay there, you'd be a resident of that bar. But because during COVID they were closed and I found another opportunity at another bar that was actually just opening up, I went there. So I'm still involved with the first bar. I'm still part of their team, but I'm more of a contract now. So yeah, I'm more of like I'm in contact with the bars. The owners will message me, be like, are you available this night? And I would say yes or no. And that's how, and I kind of just like do that with all the clubs, like 3 or 4, and then, and that's how like I work it out. But if I was at one club, they'd be like, okay, you're this night. at this time, but because I found other opportunities, I'm able to like combine them all. They're all like kind of different like vibes and venues, and they all have different crowds, so it's nice.
Yeah, talk to me about that. I would love to hear, you know, about the different, you know, crowds, the different vibes, and just like, what do DJs have to do when they have that situation where they have to, you know, understand and learn how to play for different crowds? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. The first bar I started at is more of a college bar. So that's like more pop EDM remixes. They have an upstairs venue that's more of their club area where you can, which is a lot more EDM, which is like what I was into. But mainly at that bar, you had to like play like top 40s for the club or for the college crowd. But you can also throw in your own EDM and stuff, but it just wasn't as open to like whatever you wanted. But then the second place I went to, they were much more open to like whatever you wanted. There's no like genre, like restrictions or anything. So I'm allowed to play a lot more EDM there. And the second venue is more of an older crowd. And then the third venue I just started playing at, that's like an underground place. And that's like all like rhythm, dubstep, and then experimental. And you can just play whatever you want there. But that's like strictly EDM. So like the first place I was at was like hardly any EDM, and then not. Yeah, I'm just like all like three pinpoints right there.
Yeah, it's super cool because they're all completely different, and you have to be able to be versatile to be able to appease the crowd and the venue, because you're also working for the business owners there, to make sure that everyone is happy. You're providing experience that everyone is in agreement with and enjoys. You know, I'm personally interested, which one is your favorite of the three? If you don't mind, I don't want to get you in trouble. But like, what vibe is your favorite? And like, talk to me of why the vibe is your favorite, not about the specific location.
The second place, the second vibe, that's like where I'm able to play anything I want. And it's also new. It just opened like in the middle of the summer, like right in the COVID area. So it's not renovated at all. So it's going to get a lot nicer. New sound system and everything, and like the venue is nice. Like they used, before it opened, before they bought it from the previous owner, it used to be a concert venue, like where San Holo, G Jones, like a whole bunch of DJs would come through. So I'm playing on the same stage as them, like weekly. But they had to like tear down the floors and stuff. So like once the floors and everything are fixed, it's gonna be a crazy venue. So I'm excited for that. So yeah,
awesome,
probably that place, especially for the future.
Awesome, man. I would love to hear, you know, how did you get those gigs? You know, what work did you put in to be able to get those opportunities? A lot of people on this podcast are trying to learn how to get these gigs. And, you know, I want to hear exactly your steps that you took to get those.
Back to DJing in my dorm room, just like using and learning my controller. And I use Rekordbox, by the way, Rekordbox DJ. I just prefer that because if you ever like want to DJ like at a club, they're going to make you use TDJs, and which are similar to the DDJ lineup that record or that Pioneer DJ has. So I use a Pioneer DJ controller that looks similar to CDJ, so I was able to transfer over to the club scene pretty easily. But so I'll just say practicing, that definitely was it. I would look up phrasing for DJing, just learning intros and outros of songs. That's definitely the most basic. And then after just practicing that, I met my friend. So yeah, reach out, find someone in the community. I was connected through him because I joined a Facebook EDM group for my college city, which is Iowa City. It's called Iowa City EDM. And so I met the admin. I saw him at a G Jones concert. Then he introduced me to the DJ at the place I'm currently at. So practicing, connecting, after the connecting, then you just gotta show up after that. But then you still gotta keep practicing though. Like, you know, there's always new music coming out, and you can always like, I remember even after I got the gig and I was already at the club and I was being trained, I still learned a lot more. Like I was still being trained weekly, just learning like transitions for sure, song selection, and just like reading crowds. Trimming is very important too, especially when you first start. Like you don't even think about that when you're in your dorm room. So all of that. And then just reaching out, connecting. I would say once you're like establish yourself at least at one spot, I have a SoundCloud and I use that to record my sets, right? I record some sets and I send those out, and I also post them like on my social media just for friends to listen to. And then when I'll find a business on Instagram, or they'll have like an email, and I'll DM them and I'll be like, hey, are you guys looking for any DJs? I DJ at yada, yada, yada. Here's a set I have. If you would like to listen, please reply and let me know. And then they usually, people are pretty cooperative about that actually.
Yeah, man. No, that's amazing. I think that that's super important for you to note that you didn't just sit around and wait for gigs to come to you. You mm-hmm. actively leveraged the things that you've already done and reached out to people that might be interested and presented yourself like, hey, are you looking for DJs? I've DJed at these places. So you show that you're credible and have DJed at other places that are that bring, you know, the credibility to who you are. So, you know, it's all about building the skill set, but then also being able to be a networker or someone that's able to connect with other people and build those relationships. So great job to you, because some people, you know, don't really connect the dots. So to hear it, to see that, you know, in 5 years you got from being interested to DJing at clubs and bars and other events, like that's mm-hmm. amazing, man. And not many people have done that in that short amount of time. So kudos to you for what you've done. And I'm super excited to hear a little bit about some advice that you have for DJs that are maybe on edge of about, you know, taking their career to the next level. I would love to hear, you know, some advice that you may have for anyone that's trying to get in.
I would say you got to do it. Like right now, my like view on life is like, I only believe you have one of them. So you got to do it. If you don't, I wouldn't want to like die wondering what could have happened, you know. And right now I'm finding out what would have happened if I tried. And I think that's the best thing, is to not live with regrets. And you know, especially if you're young, like you got nothing to lose. You gotta try it.
Awesome, man. And what are some things that you're focused on now? And like, what are some things that we can see from you in the future?
Well, when I mentioned earlier, when I first went to EDC, I was into producing, but then I just struggled with patience for that. So I started DJing. And the reason I started DJing is so that I could just force people to listen to my music. So right now I'm working on producing so that that can start happening. So now like when I play music in a club, they're going to Shazam it and be like, oh wait, who's this guy? You know, so instead of having to, well, I can also have DJs DJ my music, but I can also DJ my own music. And so I'm working on producing right now.
That's smart, man. I love it. Love the strategy. You're definitely an innovator and you think through different problems and solutions. And that's how you get successful, man. I would love to for us to jump right into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Right now, I use a DDJ 800 and just my MacBook running Rekordbox, and that's it.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
I would have to say Cascade. I love watching Cascade, but he's also more of a producer type DJ. For DJing, I would say Dr. Fresh. I saw him on a virtual live throughout the summer, and he was going crazy. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, this guy's amazing. Like, why is he not bigger?
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
I was doing a private party, and it was just like a typical college private party. But I don't know why. Sometimes, like I said, with the state of flow, things just click sometimes. And I remember this party because anything I played, they just went off on. Like, I could play Teletubbies and they would have got lit to it. It was just perfect set and they had good energy, and anything I put out, they gave back, and that's just the best.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Most interesting person? I don't know. It's interesting meeting all the bar owners and seeing how they all work, because they've been doing it for a while and they have to deal with all these DJs. So I think it's nice to learn how the business works, because a lot of them are cunning and they know how to deal with DJs, and like all DJs are different too. Like a lot of them have egos, some of them don't. And I think you can learn a lot from the owners, because they definitely have seen DJs come and go, and they're the ones that are staying around through it all. So yeah.
What is one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
One thing that is missing, I would say, well, I think they're working on it, but like VR for DJing would be pretty cool, because it's just not the same. I mean, live streaming for DJing is awesome, but this in person is crazy. you can still get the same, you can still watch it, but it's not, you know, it's still not all around you. And I think that's a lot of it. And then also the crowd is a lot of it too. But in VR, you're able to like be with people. So I think maybe VR will probably change how live streaming goes for that.
And shout out to any DJs you know personally whose story should be shared on this podcast.
I got the two guys for sure. Dave and Titus. He's the one who trained me at the first venue I was talking about. And then Party. That's his name. P-A-R-T-I. It's like, it was like the I is like some Greek letter, but he's producing right now. He's making big things right now too. So those two guys for sure.
Awesome. We hope to hear their stories. And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Online, it's Instagram.com/ Official Rosales. And I believe it's Official Rosales for Twitter, SoundCloud, and Facebook as well. So everything is Official Rosales. OfficialRosales. And if you'd like to see me in person, if you're somehow in Iowa, Iowa City, Iowa, kind of near, it's like 4 hours from Chicago. Right now I'm at the Summit in Iowa City and El Reyes and Gabe's, and all in Iowa City right now.
Awesome, brothers. Great talking to you on the My DJ Story podcast. Everyone, please follow and support Rosales. He's an amazing DJ doing some great things. We appreciate you, Ran, and thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.